Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Lamed Ches. We already made it all the way down to the Mishnah towards the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. We are learning today Le'ili Nishmas Moshe Ben Yehuda Yitzchak. This is David Fran's father. He's a regular listener to the Shia, and all the Nishams we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, so we begin at the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us Shomeris Yavam Shenafdu Lo Nichosim. If a woman who's waiting to be taken in Yibum, again, our classical case, the Reuven dies, his wife Rachel is falling Yibum to the brother Shimon, so she's waiting, she's called the Shomeris Yavim, she's waiting for the Yavim to give her Yibum, and now she has properties that fall to her. Now this Shia today is going to be discussing, continuation of a little bit of what we had in yesterday's Shia, the laws of who owns what in a marriage, and at what point does a property belong to the husband of a wife. We are going to be dealing with different obligations, both from the husband to the wife and from the wife to the husband in terms of dowry, in terms of properties that the wife brings in. So there is the regular obligations that the husband has to his wife in terms of the ksuba. That's the simple, basic amount of money that is guaranteed to the wife, rahmana l'islam, if the husband passes away or if he divorces her. So he gives her a certain basic amount of money. That's the shtar ksuba. And in addition to that, the woman often will bring in additional properties of two different types. One is called Nichsei Tzon Barzel. This is treated essentially the same way as the Ksuba. This is called Iron Flock, Iron Tzon Barzel. Because this is evaluated at the time that it's brought into the marriage, and if the woman, let's say, is evaluated, it's worth $5,000, so at the end of the marriage, either when Rahman al-Islam, the husband dies or divorces her, so then she's entitled to get back $5,000. Whether it's still extant or not, whether it's raised its value, whether it's lowered its value, so this is called Nichsei Tzon Barzel. That's why it's called Tzon Barzel. It's iron stone. It doesn't deteriorate over time. It also doesn't go up over time. Whatever its worth was at the time of the ksuba when they got married, so that's the amount that the husband owes the wife. During the time of the marriage, so the husband gets to use that tzon barzel in any way he wants. But since it's called tzon barzel, so it's an obligation that the husband has to return it to the wife. Then there's another type of dowry or property that the woman brings into the marriage that's known as nichsei melug. Lug means literally picking or plucking. So this is something that the wife brings into the marriage, and the husband has the usufruction rights. He has the rights to eat the payroll. So let's say she brings in a field. So the husband has the right to eat the fruits, or the produce that is produced from that field. That belongs to the husband. However, the field itself still belongs to the wife. And whenever the marriage is over, so then that field, in whatever condition it's in, returns to the wife. It's not like tzon barzel that it's guaranteed a set amount of money, but it could be to her advantage or to her disadvantage. If the field goes up, it was real estate, and the fields go up, so then it goes up for her. If the field goes down, it goes down for her. So she's entitled to get back the field. If the field is to be destroyed, if the Nichsei Melug are destroyed, so then she gets nothing back. If they go up in value, she gets an additional value back. It's different than Tzon Barzel. And that's what our Mishnah is going to be talking about. So you have the Shomeris Yavim, starting again. The woman's waiting to undergo Yibam. Rachel's waiting to undergo Yibam by Shimon. And she inherits some property. It could either be that she inherits it from her father. There's certain things that the wife would inherit. Let's say there were no brothers, and the father dies, and she's given a Yerusha. Somebody could give her a present. It could be somebody else that's Morish to her. Doesn't make a difference how. She gets this from her father or some other source. And now it fell to her while she's a Shomeris Yavim. So in this situation, this is what we call the Reisha of the Mishnah, and there's a handout today. So I suggest that you look at the handout that I have printed out, and it will hopefully make the shiur a lot easier, because we're going to be discussing the ratio of the Mishnah and the safe of the Mishnah through the entire shiur today. So this is the ratio of the Mishnah. In this situation, where items fall to the Shomeris Yavim, property or something falls to the Shomeris Yavim while she's waiting to undergo Yibam, so Modin Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, everybody's in agreement, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, Shemocheres V'Noseres V'Kayim, that she owns that property, and she L'Chatchila is allowed to go and sell it to somebody or give it to somebody, and the sale is final or the present is final. Whatever she did goes. This is the Reish of the Mishnah. You can see this on my sheet here. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are moda that they are totally in her control. Now, we go to the Sefer of the Mishnah. Neisa, if Rachmana Litzlan, Rachel dies now. Her husband died, and now she dies. Now, we'll discuss under what circumstances she died. Simple understanding right now is that we're dealing, obviously, that she's still a Shomeris Yavim. If she was taken in as Yibam by Shimon, so then she's a full-fledged wife of Yibam in the regular laws of inheritance of the Ksuba, of the Nichsei Malug, of the Nichsei Tzon Barzo would apply in that situation. But here we're talking about she dies as a Shomeris Yavam, Mesa. So in this situation, there is a machlokas between Bil Vesil and Bishamai. So Ma Yaseh Biksubasa, what happens to all of her Ksuba? And this doesn't only mean the Ksuba itself, the basic monetary payment, but it also discusses the other dowry that she brings in, the Nichsei Tzon Barzel and the Nichsei Malug. So that's what's mentioned next by the Mishnah, Ma Yaseh Biksubasa, Ubinachasim HaNichnasim V'yotzinima, and the Nichsei Malug that go in and out with her, that's her property. And the husband just has the rights to the peiros. So here we have a machlokus. Beishamai yomrim, Beishamai says, yachloku, that these properties are split between the yorshim of Rachel, i.e. her father. We refer to it as her father, yorshei ha'av, because her father may not be alive, so the properties go to her side of the family. It would go to her father. If her father is not alive, then it would go down then to any brothers that she had through her father, and the regular laws of Yerusha apply. So this is called Yerusha Av. So in this situation, where she had property that was in her control, in the Reisha, it would have totally been in her control if she was alive, but when she dies, so Beis Shammai says here, Yachloku, it has to be split. There is no clear proof that it belongs to one side more than the other. So Yerusha Habal, Shimon, her Baal, he's not really her full Baal, she's Zekuko Liyavim, so the Yerushei HaBaal would split this money in Yerushei Av with her father, her inheritance if she was a single lady, like, and that's the opinion of Beis Shammai. We'll have a lot of discussion in the Gemara to understand this better. Right now, we're doing this very superficial. Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel disagrees. They say, it all depends. Nuchasim b'ches kasim. We leave everything where it is because you don't have the right to take it away from somebody. Hamotzi mechaver olav haraya doesn't allow you to take away something in a suffix. You have to go and leave things where they are. And therefore, Beis Hillel says, nuchasim b'ches kasim. So that means, ksuba b'ches kas yorshei habal, unuchasim ha'nechnasim v'yotzim imo b'ches ki yorshei av. Says it depends. The basic ksuba and the Tzom Barzel, they stay with the Yerushei HaBaal, because he's the one in possession of those right now. The husband, Reuven, and that right is transferred over to Shimon, is the one that, so to say, has to pay out the Ksuba. That means it's in his possession right now, because he has to go and pay it out. And the Nichsei Tzom Barzel also belong to him right now. He has the right to use them, because they're guaranteed. They're worth a certain amount of money. And therefore, that is considered to be in the chazakah of the Baal, Reuven slash Shimon, and therefore, that stays with him because it's unclear what her claim is to it. Hers is only a suffix type of a claim, and therefore, we leave things with the chazakah that it stays with the Baal. But, the nichsei malug, nichosim ha-nichnosim v'yotzim imah, v'cheskas yorshei av, that stays and belongs to her family, her father, that would go on her side of the family because that definitely is hers. And therefore, it's not clear that the Yavam has any right to inherit it. Her husband would have inherited that from her. Husband inherits the wife, quid pro quo. He has to go and redeem his wife, Rachmana Litzlan, if she's captured. There is always pretty much in the financial relationships of the marriage, which has nothing to do necessarily with the love of the marriage. These are set rules which can be changed if both sides want to. So the set rules of the marriage are that the husband's entitled to inherit his wife because he has the obligation to go and redeem his wife, Rachmana Litzlan, if she's captured. Now, this Sefer of the Mishnah is, again, talking about where she wasn't yet taken into Yibam. But, the Mishnah continues, Kinasa, if, in fact, the husband took her in Yibam, Shimon did Yibam with her, she's now his full-fledged wife, Hare ki ishto l'chol davar. In this situation, she is his wife in every way. There's no difference between a Yibam marriage, once it's consummated, and a regular marriage, with the one exception, Ubavashite Ksuba, that the Ksuba requirements were from her first husband, they are in effect now on her second husband, but he, Al Nichsei Baal Rishon, he theoretically only has to pay that if there was money in the estate of Reuven, his brother, the dead brother. If theoretically there was nothing there, so then that's not an obligation upon him, as the Gemara will explain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, gave him this wife, and it didn't come automatically with his own ksuba, although the Gemara will say that he should give her, in fact, the ksuba from his own property as well, because we don't want to make it easy for him to divorce her. Let's say Reuven had no money, so then there'd be no penalty, no financial penalty for him to divorce his wife, and it'd be too easy for him to divorce his wife. So therefore, the Gemara is going to conclude and say that he, in fact, should give her the ksuba from his own property, and this will make it more difficult for him to divorce her, and hopefully we'll maintain the Jewish marriage. Okay, so now we have the Gemara that's going to give us four different opinions, Ula, Rabba, Abaye, and Rava, as to how to understand this machlokas. Again, if you look at my sheet, we have the Reisha, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, a Moda, that all the properties that she inherits or gets in any way when she's a Shomeris Yavam, they belong to her. And the Seifa is if she dies. So then, Maya said, Biksuvasa, what do we do? So then that's a machlokas. Beis Shammai says, Yachloku. And we're dealing again with the Nichsei Melug. Here, even though we didn't mention this in the Mishnah, Rashi and others pointed out that this is really dealing with the Nichsei Melug. That's unclear whether they belong to her or whether they belong to the Yavam. So when she dies, so this is something that we split because it's Mamon Hamutal Basafek, and therefore we split it. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no, we leave the things in the Chazaka. The Nichsei Melug here go with her Yarshim, that's the Chazaka, and the rest of the Ksuba and the Tzom Barzo, they go with Shimon, his side, because he's considered the owner of it. But that's a very superficial understanding of the Mishnah, the Reisha and the Sefer. And now the Gemara is going to ask, Maishno Reisha Dulo Pligi, Umaishno Sefer the Pligi. Why do Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree with each other in the Reisha that it totally belongs to her, but in the Sefer, if she dies, then we have a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? So the opinion of Beis Hillel isn't really the problem. Beis Hillel says you leave everything where it is, Beches Kosan, just like the Reisha. It's in her chazaka, so therefore everybody agrees that the woman has control over it. So why did anything change? So Beis Hillel is consistent. Nothing has changed. You leave everything where it was. We don't know how to deal with this. There is no clear-cut raya as to who it belongs to. So therefore, you leave things beches kosan. But Beis Shammai changes their opinion. Beis Shammai says, in this situation, yachloku, you divide up the nichsei melug. And the question will be, why does Beis Shammai make a distinction between the Reisha, where they say leave it where it is, and in the Sefer, where they say yachloku? That's the Gemara's question. Maishno Reisha, the low pligi, there is no argument. Beis Shammai agrees with Beis Hillel. And in the Sefer, Maishno Sefer, the pligi, Beis Shammai argues with Beis Hillel and says yachloku. So Ula is going to be the first potential answer, how to reconcile the Reisha and the Sefer. Amar Ula, Reisha de Noflo Kishi Arusa, the Sefer de Noflo Kishi Nesua. The Reisha is talking about that her marriage to Reuven was not a complete marriage. She only had the first stage of marriage to Reuven. She was an Arusa to Reuven. Now, an Arusa has different laws in terms of the financial status than a Nesua, than a woman who's had the full marriage, the second stage of marriage, and has consummated the marriage. So, in the Reisha, Ula says, we're dealing with the woman who was a Shomeris Yavam, but she hadn't been fully married to Reuven. She was only the first stage of marriage, and therefore, her status as an Arusa, she was a Vade Arusa to Reuven, translates when she falls to Shimon as a Sofek Arusa. Now, a Sofek Arusa is weaker than the Arusa, so everything belongs to her. Anything that comes to her is totally in her possession. A Sofek Arusa is a lesser status than the Arusa status that she had with Reuven. And therefore, Beis Shammai is agreement with Beis Hillel that it belongs to her. They're totally hers. And you can see this on my sheet, clearly spelled out. The Sefer, however, she had a full marriage to Reuven. She was a Nesua. So now when she falls in Yibam, she becomes a Sofik Nesua. What is the status of the Zika to Shimon? Until he actually takes her and she becomes his full-fledged wife. So in that situation, she has a weakened status. With Reuven, she was a full Nesua. Here she's only a Sofik Nesua. And in that situation, the Sofik Nesua, we're not sure. Does it belong to her? Does it belong to him? And in this situation, we have Beis Shammai saying, Yachloku. We split up her Nichsei Melug, and she'll get half. Her father, i.e. her inheritors, will get half. And Shimon, he would get the other half. Now, that's Ula's opinion. What's the rationale behind this? So the Gemara explains. Kesavra, Ula holds that Zikas Arusa osa Sofik Arusa. This Zika that she now falls to Shimon in the Reisha from being an Arusa only, translates into her now being a Sofek Arusa. That's Ula's opinion. Return to Lamed Ches Amud Beis. And the Zikas Nesua Osa Sofek Nesua. And this Zika in the Sefer, where she was a full-fledged Nesua, now she falls the Zika to Shimon, lowers it to a Sofek Nesua. How does that translate to practicality? So the Gemara continues. Ulahol zikas arusa osa sofik arusa, meaning that in the reisha the e solka daitoch vade arusa. If you would treat her as a vade arusa, so in that situation, modim beis hillel shemocheres v'nosenes svekayim. Are you going to tell me that that would be the opinion of beis hillel that in the reisha there would be no machlokas if you're telling me that she was a full arusa when she's a shomeres yavim? She comes from an arusa to Reuven and she comes to Shimon, falls in the Yibam when Reuven dies. Does she become a full Arusa? In that situation, then we wouldn't have Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai molded that everybody says that it's under her possession. Because after all, we have a Mishnah in Ksubos on Daf Ayin Ches, and this Mishnah tells us, arsa, a regular Arusa, if she gets properties after she became an Arusa, so Beis Shammai Omrim Timkar. Beis Shammai says it's all hers. Her husband doesn't yet have any control over that. That's Nichsei Maluk, and it belongs to her. Beis Hillel Omrim Lo Timkar. Beis Hillel says, no, maybe it belongs to her husband, and he has the rights to the payros, and she doesn't have the right to sell it. It still belongs to her. Nobody doubts that. But he already starts to have the rights to the payros when she's an Arusa. So Beis Hillel says, do not go and sell it, because if you sell it, then the husband will lose the rights to the payros. So there's a fundamental machlokas as to the status of an Arusa, a Vaday Arusa, as to whether the husband has the rights to any property that falls to her after she becomes an Arusa. So here you see L'chatrila, there's a machlokas. It's only B'diyevet. Eilu ve'eilu modim. Beis Hillel's modim be'sham ha'ishim ochr v'nos nekayim. That if she in fact did sell it, so then we let this sale stand. So if she's a real Arusa, if her status when she falls in Yibam to Shimon is that she's a full Arusa, so then the Reisha would not be that everybody agrees that it's hers. So obviously the Reisha, according to Ula, cannot be explained as she's an Arusa when she falls to Shimon. She is a Sofik Arusa. Elushmamino, Zikas Arusa, Osa Sofik Arusa. And therefore, that's why Beis Hillel is molded to Beis Shammai, the Lichat Chila, she has the right to go and sell it. Oh, very good. Now, the Seifa, Zikas Nesua, Osa Sofik Nesua. Ula's opinion is that when she goes from Nesua status, full-fledged marriage to Reuven, and Nebuch Reuven dies, and she falls Yibam, she's not considered a Nesua yet to Shimon until he actually takes her in Yibam. But she's a Sofek Nesua. Why is that? Because the Yisalka Daitoch Vaday Nesua, if you're going to tell me that she has the status of being a Vaday Nesua, so then the Machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai would be different. Beis Shammai Omrim Yachloku Yorshi Abalim Yorshi Ab. Would Beis Shammai say, as they do in the Sefer, that we split it 50-50, this property goes half to her side, her father, has her side of the inheritance, and the other half goes to Shimon? Would that really be the case? But not. That same Mishnah in Kesubas on Daf Ayin Ches continues, and it said over there, but not. Not l'lo n'chosu mishanises. If a woman was fully married and then she got property, she inherited property from her side of the family, or somebody gave her property, whatever the situation may be. So eilu ve'eilu modim. Then both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree. Shim machro v'nosna. In that situation, this Nichsei Maluk that comes into her, absolutely the husband has the rights to it, and therefore she has no ability to go and sell it. It belongs to her, but since the husband has the payrus rights to it, the usufruction rights to it, so then she's not allowed to go and sell it. And here, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree that even b'diavad, if she went and sold it, certainly l'chachilah she can't sell it, but even b'diavad, if she went it, the modim, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, elvei l'modim, shemachar v'nosna, shabal motzi miyad l'kuchos, that the Baal is allowed to go and take it from the l'kuchos. The l'kuchos will get their money back, but they are not allowed to take possession of the item. She had no right to sell it, and even b'diavad would take it back. So obviously, since Beis Shammai says over here, yachloku, so it can't be talking about that she's a Vaday Nesua. So obviously, Ula says she's considered a Sofek Nesua, and in this situation, Lashmamino Zikas Nesua, her Zika to Shimon, turns her into Zikas Nesua, Osa Sofek Nesua, and therefore it's not clear. Does it belong to him? Does it belong to her? And that's why Beis Shammai says in the Sefer, Yachloku. Again, Beis Hillel is consistent throughout. They always say, Beches Kasson, you leave things where they are. You can't be taking money. Money that's in the Sofek, you can't go and have one side take it from the other unless you can bring a raya. Since neither side can bring a raya, what her status is. So Beis Hillel says you leave everything where it is. They're consistent throughout. they don't need to be explained. It's only Beis Shammai who needs to be explained, and this is how Ula explains it. The Reisha is an Arusa is considered a Sofik Arusa when she falls to Yibam, and the Nesua is considered a Sofik Nesua when she falls to Yibam. That's Ula's understanding. Rabba doesn't like it for the following reason. Omli Rabba, Adamiflege Bagufa, Uliach Hamisa, in the Sefer, why did you make her die? Why did you make the Machlokas in the Sefer that she died? You didn't have to go that way. Why make her die, so to say? You could have solved the problem. Liflagu b'chayeha, she could have stayed alive, and just say they were arguing about the payros. Who gets the payros? Why did you have to give us a case where she died? You could say, in this situation, where she gets something when she's waiting for Yibam, so it fell to her when she's waiting for Yibam, so just argue the usufruction rights. We're not clear who they are, so Beis Shammai says yachloku. He gets half, and she gets half. Rabba questions, why do we have to introduce the fact that she died? You could just use the case of the payros. As you can see, this on my sheet marked off as well. So therefore, Rabba has a different teretz. El Omer Rabba, Rabba says, the way to understand why Beis Shammai is different in the Sefer than they are in the Reish is as follows. Both situations, Edi v'Edi, did not look at Shinesua. No, when she was, when Reuven died, she was fully married to Reuven. There was a Nesua in both situations. We're not dealing, she was an Arusa in the Reisha. Rabba says that she was a full-fledged wife. Nebuch Reuven dies, she falls Yibam to Shimon. So what's the difference between the Reish and the Sefer, according to Rabba? She's a Nesua in both situations. And he holds, Bezikas Nesua, Osa Sofik Nesua. He agrees with what Ula said, that the Zika that she has with Shimon is a lower form than the status of Nesua that she had with Reuven, her first husband. So Zikas Nesua, Osa Sofik Nesua. So that's the same in the Reish and the Sefer. So why is there Machlokas in the Sefer, but no Machlokas in the Reisha? Why did Beis Shammai, so to say, change their opinion from saying, leave everything where it is, to Yachloku? So the Gemara says, Reisha, the Kaima, in the Reisha, where she is alive, so Avalo Iivadai, she definitely gets this property. She was the one that inherited this property. It definitely belongs to her. It's in her Chazaka. And the only question is, does it belong to him or not belong to him? V'inu Sofek, and he's a Sofek. And therefore, the rule is, V'in Sofek, Mosmi Deivadai. Everybody agrees that you can't have money that's in a Sofek situation leave the person that currently has it. If there's somebody who currently has it, Mosmi Chaver, Oliver Raya, in order to take it away, you have to have a proof that it is yours. And we don't have that. So in the Reisha, we say it remains in her status. V'in Sofek, Mosmi Deivadai. However, save for in the second part of the Mishnah where she dies, the Mesa. So then, her inheritors, Halalu, born Lirash, Valal born Lirash. And her husband's side, if the husband dies, so his inheritors come to Yarshin v'yachloku. And therefore, there is a machlokes. And therefore, it's Mamun Hamutu Basafik yachloku. So that's how Rabba explains the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer. Each of them is a Sofik situation. The woman who got it, who never passed away, maybe it's hers, and the Avam, who is, she's Zakuka to him, maybe it's his. We don't know, and Rabba says, that's why the Sefer, we split it. In the Reisha, she's alive, it's definitely hers. So therefore, in the Reisha, she gets it. Now, Esi Abaye, who's going to give us a third teretz in a moment, so he disagrees with Rabba, and he says, Esi Abaye, Ulebe Shammai, ain't Sofik Motsi Bidevadai, according to what you just said. The reason why it's Yachloku is because the Sofik can't take away from a Vadai. Now, that's a general principle, but is it true over here? But tonight, we have a Mishnah in Bava Basra, Daf Kufnun Zayin, but tonight it says, Nofal Abayis, Olav Yalaviv. We have the classical situation where Nebuch, a house fell down, and we don't know the order of death of the people. We know Nebuch, they both passed away. But you have, over here, you have a son and a father. Nofal Abayis, Olav Yalaviv. The house collapsed, and both of them died, and we don't know the order of death. There was the son there, and there was the father. Now, Olav, the same situation could be about the son and somebody that he inherits. So it works the same way, whether it's the son or the father, the son or a person that he inherits, the grandfather, let's say, and there's no father and there are no other uncles. Whatever the situation may be, in this situation, the son, the one who is the inheritor, he has a wife and he has a ksuba to pay out and he has certain debts, he has IOUs against him, ubal chov. Now, they are entitled to go and collect from his estate. Ksuba and a bachov can go and collect from an estate. So his estate would be nothing if he died first. But his father is a wealthy person, or the one that he inherits is a wealthy person, and if they had died first, he actually inherited them a second before he dies, so then he would be able to pay off the ksuba and the debts. So Yarshei'av, the other inheritors of the father, they say, hey, wait a second, who died first? Habein meis rishon, the son died first, and he doesn't inherit. Yachakach meis av, and then the father died afterwards. So the father is going through his inheritance in the patterns of we divide it up amongst the people that are alive. Obviously, he has no children, because then they would inherit from the grave. In this situation, only children inherit from the grave, but the estate from his father would then just go to the living brothers. They don't inherit from the grave if there are no children. So in this situation, the Yarshei'av, his other brothers, or the other Yarshim of the father, they say, hey, Haben Meis Rishon, the son died first, Nebuch, Yarekach Meisav, and then a few seconds later, the father died. Now, we don't know this, but that's their claim. Ubachov Omer, but the creditors, or the wife, who wants to collect the ksuba, and unfortunately, the estate of the husband, slash the one who owes the money, the Balichov, claiming that the son owes them money, so they're going to argue, Ha'av Meis Rishon, the father died first, the son inherited him, now the son dies, nevertheless, the son got that inheritance. He's not inheriting from the grave. He inherited while he was alive, and then Nebuchadnezzar didn't get a chance to enjoy it at all. He died a few seconds later. V'yachakach Meis Habein, and therefore the son did inherit, and he can pay off the ksuba. He can pay off his debts. So in this situation, Beishamai Omim Yachloku, Beishamai says, we do divide it up, that the estate over here of the father is divided up. Half goes to the son and half goes to the other inheritors, or whatever proportion it is, goes each to each respectively. We leave everything with the way it was. The father had the chazaka of owning those properties, so you don't take them away from the father, and those that inherit the father are entitled to keep that money. You leave it b'cheskasin. Now, here, the inheritors of the father, it's in the father's possession. The last time we know for certain who it belongs to, so they're in the vade position. And the balichov, the woman with her ksuba, or the balichov, the people that have a debt that needs to be repaid from by the son, balichov asafek. It's only a question, did the father die first and he has the money, or did he not die first and they don't have the money? And nevertheless, Beshami said, yachloku, because he's safek, umotimi de vade. So here you do see that sometimes a safek can take away from a vade. So how do you answer that? That's what Abaya asked Rab, according to your opinion, that Safa can't take away from Avada. You see that Beshame does say Safa can take away from Avada. So the Gemara says, no, that's a unique case. Kosari Beshamai shtar homed the gavos kigavoi dami. That's because they have a shtar over here, the shtar ksuba, or the shtar of the Balchov. So a document is considered as if it's already collected. So it's not that we say that this is in the hands of the father. It is already considered in the hands of the Balei Chov. And therefore, in this situation, it's not a vadai that it belongs to the father. If it belongs to the son, it's already considered in his possession. And where do we see this from? Umino Temra, the Tanan, because we have a Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Sota, and it tells us, Nebuch, if you have a woman accused of being a Sota, and she says, I'm not a sota, I didn't do anything wrong, and I'm going to drink the waters and prove my innocence, and meisu baleim ad shelo shosu. And you have this sota, she says, I'm ready to drink the water, but her husband passes away. Now, she's not allowed to drink the water if her husband's not around. The whole idea of drinking the water is to allow her to be matured back to her husband. We don't erase the shame of Hashem and allow her to drink the sota water if her husband never passes away. So now, what do you do? Is she entitled to her kesuba or not? They can't drink, obviously, but they're entitled to the ksuba. Now, why would they be entitled to the ksuba? It's a safek, are they entitled to the ksuba? So why don't we leave the ksuba in the possession of their husband? Because it's a safek. So we'll see. We consider the ksuba to be already collected. It's considered as a shtara omid legavos kegavui dami. That will be what the Gemara says in a moment. That explains Beis Shammai's opinion. Beis Hillel omrim, no. O shosos, or drink, oh, lo notlos ksubasin. Or then you may not be entitled to collect your suba because you were a sota. You really did commit an infidelity over here, and therefore you're not entitled to your ksuba. A woman who rachmona l'slan commits adultery, so she's not entitled to her ksuba. It's more questions. Really? Oh, shosos, you're not allowed to drink. Maybe Aisha sees to Omar rachmona v'leka. The Torah tells us that the husband has to bring his wife, but if the husband Nebuch dies, so then she's not allowed to drink. Someone says, yeah, that's what we meant. Ela mitosha lo shosos. Since she's not allowed to drink, when we said oh shosos, it means go drink. But since you're not allowed to drink, lo not lo subasan. Beis Hillel says, we leave things the way they are, and we don't allow her to go and collect the ksuba. Now, what was the reasoning of Beis Shammai? The Gemara says, the ha-ha, the safiku. This woman, maybe she's entitled to ksuba, maybe she's not. Safik zanoi, safik lo zanoi. Maybe she, rachmon al-islam, committed an infidelity. Maybe she didn't commit an infidelity. I, nevertheless, Beis Shammai says, because he's safiku, most of the evadai. Beis Shammai says that she is entitled to collect the ksuba. Now, this would be a case where a safik is most of the evadai. How could that possibly be? El shvami no, shtar omi the gobos, could gavui domi. Oh, this is the raya that Beis Shammai holds like that. So it's not considered a safik versus a vadai. Since there was a debt over here, and it's considered with the document as if already collected, so then it's each one is a vadai. We don't know which, or each one is a safik. There's no difference between the two of them. Nobody has the chazaka on it. And therefore, Beis Shammai says, yachloku. And that's how Rabbah would understand the safe of the Mishnah in this situation. Both of them are safik, and therefore, yachloku. So that's the end of Rabbah. Abaye had tried to question Rabbah. Rabbah got around that question, and that was Rabbah's opinion. Now we actually go to the third way to understand the difference between the Reish and the safe according to Beis Shammai, and that's Abaye's opinion. The Abaye said, if Rabbah was correct, why didn't he go and ask for this Mishnah and Sota? This Mishnah and Sota would have been a better proof that he should have asked against Rabbah. So the Gemara says, Dilmuk Subas Ishashani, because maybe he didn't want to bring that case from Sota. Instead, he brought the case of the house falling, the building collapsing on the father and the son, because one could argue that Dilmuk Subas Ishashani Mishum China. The rabbis wanted to make sure women got married. A woman might say, listen, I need this like all in my head. I don't want to go get married, even though we say a woman always is interested in getting married. But if it's financially to her disadvantage, she's going to give up her properties, and she may say, I'd rather not get married. So therefore, to attract the woman to marriage, to make it more financially beneficial for her, so because of this chinda, so the rabbi has instituted that she'll collect the ksuba in such a situation. Therefore, maybe if Abaye had questioned Rabbah from the Gemara in Sota, so we could have said that that was unique. That's because of the chinah aspect of a ksuba. Still, the Gemara says, "V'los ksuba the masnisin." So why didn't Abaye challenge Rabbah from our very Mishnah? In our Mishnah, we say that Beis Shammai says yachloku, but that's really a case of a suffix being motzi from a vandai. After all, the property is considered really belonging to the yavam. So why do we allow the father to, the heirs of the woman, the father, to go and take half the property? Why didn't Abaye question Rabbah from our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, lo pligi. In fact, they don't argue in regards to Kesuvah. And this is, as we pointed out, they're only arguing in the Malog properties, the actual base Kesuvah. And the Nichsei Tzom Barzo, they're not arguing on. They're really only arguing on the Malog properties, the Nichsei Malog. And in this situation, that's where there's a machlokas, because that's a question who they belong to, and it's not sofik motzi b'devadai. Mor again questions this. V'lo, is that really true? But v'oktani, the Mishnah states, meisa ma yeyoseh biksubasa uv'nechosim v'nechnosim yosim imah. It seems to imply both of them. B'sham yom yachloku, yorshe balam yorshe al. B'sham yom nechosim b'cheskosan. So it does seem to be saying that they're arguing about both the ksuba, the base ksuba, and the Nichsei Tzom Barzel, as well as the Nechasim and Nechnasim Yosim Imah. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what we meant. Hochi Kamar. Kind of a Mishnah meant. Meisa, ma yitzeh b'ksubasa. He was asking, what do you do with the ksuba? Period. He wasn't stating which parts of the ksuba. Ushvaka, he leaves that alone. And then he says, Nechasim and Nechnasim Yosim Imah, the property that's Nichsei Malog, so b'shami yomim yachloku. Yorshi Abalim, Yorshi Av. In that situation, you split it because it's a suffix versus a suffix, whether they belong to her, whether they belong to him. You leave everything where it is, where it was, and therefore, whoever the last chazak on, they're the ones that have it. But they weren't arguing on the base kesuba, on the Nichsei Tzom Barzel, they were only arguing on the Nichsei Maluk. Okay. Ravashi says, if you look carefully at the Mishnah, you can see that this is correct. Because look at the wording. It said, Diktani Yachloku Yorshi Abal im Yorshi Av. Notice who it said first. It said the Yarshim of the Baal are going to fight with the Yarshim of the Av. Velo Ktani Yorshi Ha'av im Yorshi Ha'bal. So obviously, we're dealing here with the Nichsei Malug only because of the order that it said. And therefore, Shema Mina, if you're Medayik in that Lashon of the Mishnah, so that's why Abaye couldn't have asked from our Mishnah. Okay, so that really concludes Rabbah's approach. Now we really get to Abaye's answer. Abaye Amar, the third Teretz, asked how to explain why Beishami in the Reisha says that they agree that you leave everything where it is, and in the Sefer they say Yachloku. Abaye's Teretz is as follows. Abaye Amar, Reisha, the Reisha is dealing Dinofalo Kishi Shomeris Yavim. And again, you can see this on my sheet. They fell to her while she was a Shomeris Yavim. And as we'll see, this means that her hand, Yada, is stronger than the Yad Yavim, because it definitely falls to her. And the question is, does it go to the Yavim or not? So the Reisha, where it definitely is hers, is going to be, everybody says, leave things where they are. Bishama is mo that the Beisilo, you leave things where they are. But the Seifa, the Noflulah, Kishi, Tachta, the Baal, that is already, it fell to her when she is not a Shomeris Yavim. It fell to her when she was married still to her first husband, so therefore it already belongs to her first husband. Any property that comes into the marriage will be treated as nichsei malug, and the husband has the rights to use that property during the marriage. And as we pointed out, both Beis Hillel and Beishami say that if she tries to sell it, so the sale doesn't take effect. And even b'di'evit, you can go get it back from the lekuchos. So that's what the Sefer is talking about. And we turn to Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. So in the Seifa, they're equal, and therefore that's why Beishami says Yachloku. It's not clear, does the Yavim take over the place of the husband fully or not? And therefore, that's why it could be hers, it could be his, and therefore Yachloku. That's Abaye's understanding. Rava disagrees with that. Only Rava says, if you're saying the Seifa is occurring, that these properties fell to her, she's still married to Reuven, so then then everybody would say, even Beishame would agree with Beis Hillel's opinion, that her hand should be stronger than his hand. In other words, it should belong to her. Because in this situation, she definitely owns that property, and her first husband, Reuven, had the usufruction rights, but now when she falls to the Yavim, it's not clear that he has that. So the chazaka would be that it would stay with her. So therefore, Rava doesn't like Abaye's Teretz. He says, no, in the Seifa, you would say that Yada is greater than Yad Yavim, and therefore she should be getting it. And therefore, he disagrees with Abaye's understanding. And now we have the fourth and final interpretation of our mission of the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa, and that's Rava's interpretation. Therefore, Elo Idi V'Idi, Rava says, Dinof Lula Kishi Shomeris Yavim. Both of them, the Reisha and the Seifa, are that it fell to her while she was a Shomeris Yavim. The properties fell to her after her first husband dies, both in the Reisha and in the Seifa. But the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa is, did he or did he not do, did Shimon give her Maimer or not? Maimer, again, is this Kiddushei Derabbanan that the rabbis instituted. You shouldn't just consummate the marriage with your Yavama, but you should make it like a regular marriage by giving her Kiddushin. So, Reisha, the law of a Maimer, he never did Maimer. So then, in that situation, her hand, Yada, is stronger than his hand, and therefore everybody agrees that you leave it in her possession. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are moda that it stays in her hand because he didn't do Maimer. But the Seifa, the Ovid b'Maimer, we did Maimer, therefore in this situation, the Kesava Rava, Maimer le Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, we said this previously, Maimer makes her fully married on a Daraisa level. Maimer le Beis Shammai, also Vade Arusa. She's now a Vade Arusa, and it's only a Sofik Nesua. Yes, the marriage wasn't consummated, so therefore she's a Vaday Arusa, and in this situation, Vaday Arusa lichos with Sarah. The fact that she's a Vaday Arusa, so now if there were any other wives of Reuven, he had another wife, so she goes off scot-free now. Lichos with Sarah. The act of Maimer says that she's now Muteris Lashok. However, Usafik Nesua, the fact that she's only a Safik Nesua, she's a Vaday Arusa via the Maimer, but she hasn't had the marriage consummated, it's only a Safik Nesua. And therefore, in this situation, we say Yachloku. So that's the understanding that Rava has. She is a Safik Nesua, so maybe it's still hers, maybe it's his, and therefore Yachloku. The Gemara now says that this Machlokus that we just had between Abaye and Rava seems to be a Machlokus from earlier Amoraim. It my Mishmei de Rabbi Elazar, Kavosi de Rava, Rabbi Elazar, seems to hold like Rava, this interpretation that is dealing with Maimer or no Maimer, and Vietma Mishmei de Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Kavasi de Abaye. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina seems to hold like the opinion of Abaye that we're dealing here, when did the property fall? In the Reisha, the property fell while she was a Shomeres Yavam. And in the Sefer, the property fell while she was still married to her first husband. The word questions this. Umi Omar Rabbi Elazar Hachi. Did Rabbi Elazar, the Amor Rabbi Elazar, really say, like Rava? Did he hold like this, that we're dealing here with Maimer and not Maimer? For Amor Rabbi Elazar holds, Maimer Lebe Shammai, Eino Kona, Elo Lidchos Betzara. He says that the act of Maimer, all it does is it frees up the co-wife, the other wife that Reuven had. She goes scot-free. She's allowed to now be Muteris Lashuk when Maimer is done to Rachel. Maimer Lebe Shammai, Eino Kona, Elo Lidchos Betzara. Bilvad. All it does is it pushes the Tzara away, but it has nothing to do with anything else. So how can you tell me that in that situation that it's a suffix? Maybe it belongs to him, suffix, maybe it belongs to her, that she's a suffix Nesua. Rabbi Elazar didn't say that. So maybe Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold like Rabbi. Where it says Taki, right? Apo, flip it around and say, in fact, that Rabbi Elazar holds like Abaye. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, he holds like Rabbi. So that's one answer. Alternatively, Vibay Seima, Leon Mel Tefo. No, leave it the way we originally had it and say as follows. Amalek Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Kiamri, I know, when I said, the Lo Sagi Lo Beget, Ella, the boy Nami Chalitza, when I said that if you had Maimer, that it's insufficient to just give a get, but you also have to have Chalitza, I didn't talk about anything else. Lachel Menachosim, the Lo Kani, Miamri. Did I mention anything about how to divide a property? I wasn't discussing that at all. All I was talking about was only one aspect, and you have no raya as to what I was saying in regards to any other aspect, and therefore, in fact, Rabbi Elazar could hold like Rav, there's no contradiction. Now the Gemara says, Omer Rav Papa holds, Diyuka demasnisin kavasi dabaye. If you carefully look at the language of the Mishnah, it does seem to go like Abaye. However, Vyafo gav dekasha mesa. But you still have the question that was posed previously as to why we had to give the case of mesa, why we didn't just say it's talking about peiros. What is that? Look at the language carefully. Tetani nechasim and nechnasim yosimimah. It used the language of the nechasim to go in and out with her. What does it mean, my nechnasim and my yotzim? That language, if you're medayik in the Mishnah, doesn't it mean lav nechnasim l'rishus habal, the yotzim l'rishus habal l'rishus ha'av? That it goes into the possession of the husband, but then it leaves the possession of the husband, and it goes into her inheritors. So if you analyze it carefully, it went in the sefer. We're talking about that the properties fell while she was married still to her first husband. So in that situation, that's why it's called nichnasin. It entered into the first husband's property, but then v'yotzin, it left his status when he dies, and it goes back into her status, and then Nebuch, when she dies, it goes to her side of the family. So if you're medayik in the Lashon, that's how you can be medayik. And the kasha was, v'afal gav the kasha mesa. We had the same question before that was posed on Rabbah. So why do we use the case of mesa? You could have used the case of what do we do with properties. Instead of saying it's going after her death and you're dealing with the properties themselves, you could have argued the same question while she was still alive, and the peiros, who's entitled to the peiros? And you could have said, yachloku there. Vesulomidi. Oh, you're right, that was Akasha, but we're not going any further. The bottom line is, a very careful reading of the Mishnah does in fact seem to go where Papa says like a bite. Okay, that concludes our discussion over here of the four shitos explaining why Beis Shammai is arguing with their opinion in the Reisha, where they said that you leave things where they are, but in the Sefer, they argue with Beis Hillel and say, Yachloku. We'll go Vaita, we'll try to get down to the Mishnah, again, trying to stay a little bit ahead for Pesach. So we quote the last part of the Mishnah. The last part of the Mishnah said, Kinasa, if this Shomeris Yavam took the Yavama to be his full-fledged wife, he consummated that marriage, so then then she is his full wife in every regard. We said with one exception, that the ksuba is to be paid from Reuven's inheritance and not necessarily from Shimon's, at least on a deraisa level. So what's the chiddush over here? What's the halacha? So, Amar Yosi Bar Chanina, Lomar Shemegar Shoh Beget. The chiddush that we're trying to say first is that she leaves this marriage with a get. She doesn't go out with chalitza. She leaves this marriage with a get. Should it unfortunately lead to a divorce, Umar Zira. And he likewise is allowed to take her back if he's not a Kohen. So then this is a regular case. As long as she didn't get married to somebody else, he can divorce her with a get. And if she didn't get married to somebody else, he's allowed to be machzir his grushoso if he's a Yisrael. So the Gemara says this is obvious. Megarish beget is pshito. Why would you have thought otherwise? She's his full-fledged wife. So you might have thought the Gemara says, since the Pasuk says, the Yibma, she'll take her to be his wife, and then he'll perform Yibma with her, so she remains in the status of being a Yivama. So Amar Rahman, by dying Yivu, may Harisha no lea. You might have thought that she still has the status of being a Yivama, even after the marriage. And therefore, she would not go out with a get, b'chalitza in b'get lo, but she would only go out with chalitza, not with a regular get. So kamash v'lam, to go against this idea, the Mishnah tells us that that's not the case. The Gemara says he's allowed to take her back as well, Machzira. So, Pshita, that's also obvious. Why would you think that he can't be Choser, Machzir Grushaso? As long as he's not a Kohen and she didn't get married to somebody else, why would you think he's not allowed to? So the Gemara says, Solka Daita Chaminuk, because I might have thought Mitzvah Deramya Rachmona Alei Ovda. As the Torah said, there's a Mitzvah Yibim over here. Otherwise, it would be Eshesach. And Eshesach is normally also, but Eshesach, the Makom Mitzvah is permitted. So when he married her originally through Yibam, that was permitted. But once he divorced her, I might have thought, Hashta, take him alay, be Isser Eshesach, that the Isser of Eshesach would return. After all, he's not doing Yibam anymore, so maybe the original Isser of Eshesach should be there. Kamash Vulon, the Mishnah tells us, no, that that's not the case. We're asked, why not? Bem Hochanami, that's actually a rational idea, that the Isser of Eshesach should return. So the Gemara tells us, no. Amakra, the Pasuk said, Ulukachalo li'isha, she will be to him for a wife. And it means a wife in all regards. Kivan shilukacha, once he takes her in Yibam, harei ki'ishto l'chol dover, then she becomes his full-fledged wife in every regard. Last part of the Mishnah, Uvad, Sheikh Suboso, that he only is obligated to pay the ksuba from the things that he inherited from the dead brother, Reuven, but not from his own pocket. Why? My time up. Because Isha hiknu lo min hashamayim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this wife, he never took upon himself such an obligation, and therefore he technically doesn't have to go and pay any ksuba from his own estate, from his own property, but it's all from the dead brother's estate. What happens, Gemara says, v'i les lo min harishon. However, if there is no money in the first estate, Reuven died in an impoverished state, and there is not enough money to pay for a ksuba, so then takinu lo misheni, then the rabbis instituted midrabanan that he should have to pay the full ksuba from his own properties. Why? Because we don't want people to easily divorce their wives. Sometimes, Nebuch, the only reason they don't divorce their wife is because of the financial penalty that will be involved. She's a large ksuba, and he'd be financially hurt. So he says, okay, we'll stay married and we'll manage. So therefore, the Torah here doesn't want it to make it too easy to divorce her, because, it doesn't cost me a penny to divorce her. I go divorce her. So Rahman al-Utslan, that's not the approach that the Torah wants us to take. And therefore, Midrabanan, we set up that even though Midaraisa, he'd only have to go and pay the ksuba from his brother, the dead brother's, Reuven's estate. But if there is nothing in the estate, the rabbi set up that he has to pay the ksuba from his own pocket. Now, I just want to mention, this concludes today's shiur. I just want to mention that I'm giving a special shiur. Many of you people that are listening to the shiur will hear this only after I've already given it. But I'm giving a special shiur, something to say at the Seder, Lili Nishmas, my father's yard site, which will be on Sunday, Yud Nisan. Many people will be listening to this after Yud Nisan, but it will be available online on OU Torah, and I think also on YU Torah. So you're very much welcome to listen to the shiur afterwards, before the Seder starts. And Mirtz Hashem, you'll have something interesting to say at the Seder. Lili Nishmas, my father. Yosef Nissan Ben Yecheskel, all our learning is always Le'ilui Nishmasa. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.